Welcome everyone, welcome to the webcast. Thank you once again for joining us.
That was very good timing, Mark.
It was.
This is welcome everybody. We as you noticed, we played a worship song, a hymn. You do some timing because I was actually broadcasting it, even though Mark is hosting. So it was perfect, Mark. The timing was impeccable.
And it's one of those new little tricks we've been playing with, and it works. So yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. So how's your week been, Barry? Well, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. It's and of course, the older we get, the more it some of our discussions surround weather. So we've had it's been a great week here. So the sun has been shining, even though it's maybe raining a little bit now, but it's been great. How about you?
Yeah, good week. We are dog sitting this week. So we've got our own dog, obviously, but we've got Hillary's dog for the week. So lots of little walks out, and whatever the weather is, whenever they need to go, they need to go, you know.
that's so great. And how was your week last week in Poland?
It was very good. I had a week in Poland just visiting a lot of the team over there. It was, in a way, it was really leisurely because I was seeing a couple of people a day, but, you know, quite intensive conversations, long conversations, a lot of memories and tears about our dear friend Brian. So it was really good to be there. I spoke at a little group on Thursday evening, a little home group in a little village about 2.5 hours west of Warsaw, which was really, really good. It went really well. Good interpreter with me for that. And so, yeah, all good. Came back on Sunday night. And I shan't bore you with the woes of international travel, but basically it went very well.
Well, for those who might not know, just a little bit of the backstory, where, you know, and of course, when you mentioned Brian, you're referring to Brian Hayes, and you know, he's just recently transitioned to Glory, but he's really had a heart for Poland over the years, right? And of course, then he's invited you quite a few years ago now to join him in that adventure. Do you know how long that he was going to Poland, or?
Probably over the last 35 to 40 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
A lot of contacts in Poland. Amazing faithfulness, really. And it's about 6 years ago that he invited me to join him. So I've been going once, twice a year. I still can't speak the language, but I know a few words.
And that's amazing, because this was your first trip since Brian has passed, right?
That's right,
Okay, and again, so your reference to people, a lot of tears and things, it's just remembering and honoring Brian, right? And just that work too. So and the future work,
we've got a school coming up in February next year. So any people from Poland watching, anybody from rest of Europe who'd like to join us, you'd be very welcome to come to Poland for a week. The teaching's all in English with interpreters. So we're doing that in February next year. So really looking forward to that one particularly.
And you've got some dates coming up as well.
I'll just mention a couple of things if I can. We've got a couple of days in November that I'm doing with Trevor and Linda. November the 6th, Lighthouse Community Church in Hardley near Southampton. And November the 27th up in Bridgnorth. And the idea is, it's just going to be a very relaxed day together. Just turn up, bring your own lunch. You can make a donation there if you want to. But we are asking you just to register your interest in case we have to cancel it or in case there are any COVID restrictions. So you can do that at fatherheart.uk. So that's those 2 days in November. Really looking forward to seeing people again and just having that time to get to be together and to be relaxed and just see what Father's been doing. So anyone's very welcome to come for those 2 days. And then the other thing I'd just like to mention is the Encounter the Father's Love School next March at Cloverley Hall. Full 6-day encounter with the love of the Father. We really believe these weeks, these encounter weeks, these schools are really, really important and helpful for us to come into a deeper personal revelation with the Father. And you know, we've got heard many life-changing stories of people being on these weeks and just having that time to process things slowly and to let the love of the Father come into their hearts. So it's next March. All of the information, fatherheart.uk/encounter. We'd love to see you. So have a look at it, register, get your friends involved, tell other people who perhaps haven't been to one of these to come along. If you've done one of these schools in the past, you're very welcome to come back. We'd love to see you. And of course, there's a number of other things happening over the next few months, which Trevor and Linda are doing. And all of those events are listed on fatherheart.uk. So you're very, very welcome to come and join us. What about you, matey? Are you flying in off anywhere soon or zooming around?
I mean, I'm limited right now. My jetpack is kind of limited to Command Central in my little wee office here, but just for now. And of course, we're just we'll see what 2022 brings. But I just finished a teaching at our own home church last week, and I just had a great time with some of the interns there. But nothing planned for the near future. So
okay. Cool. Well, keep us posted. Should there be?
Well, you know, some things can just pop out of nowhere. So yeah, you'll be the first to know, mate.
We are going to be doing, I'm doing a monthly Zoom meeting for Switzerland. That's translated into French. And I am going to be starting a monthly Zoom meeting into Poland, which will be obviously translated into Polish. So just keep an eye on Facebook and the website for details of those. But they are going to be every month on a sort of regular basis.
And we're doing one of those together, right?
We are. You're doing December. Yeah, Barry's doing the one into Switzerland in December. And I'll probably get him to do one into Poland sometime as well. And Wynette is doing the one into Switzerland beginning of November. Switzerland is first Sunday in the month. And Poland, I haven't worked out yet. So you're all welcome to join us.
Yeah, that's great. Now, is there anything else that we need to touch base before I kind of open up with kind of the introduction?
I'll let you get on with it. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, yeah. So thanks everybody for coming. And this has been a pretty significant week for our brother Mark. And I don't want to steal his thunder and how he introduces the topic today, but it's called what we've both talked about is just the title is Faithful Father, and of course, you know, it's the testimony that each and every one of us have when we look at how God has been there our entire life, how He's carried us, how He's watched over us when we had no idea even of his nearness. And so I really am looking forward to Mark sharing just about his own story and his dad and the significant milestone this week. But before I pass it to him, if it's okay, I'll just open in prayer. So, So Father, we thank you that your faithfulness is just you're always there. You've always been there. You will always be there. And we just thank you for that. We just honor you in just the love that you have for us that is attentive and ever present with us in our times of trouble. And we just ask, Father, that our hearts would be open just to be able to, just hear Mark and his story and just the celebration and the reflection of his life and how you've been there with him. And that we would also be brought to a place, each and every one of us, where we remember your faithfulness in our life. and through the good times and the difficult times, that you've never left us or forsaken us. So we just want to open our hearts up to you tonight. Pray, Father, I pray for Mark that he would just be, just the overflowing presence of your faithfulness in him would be somehow be able to, you know, just describing the indescribable and put into words so that we would be able to rejoice and celebrate with him in this. So, we just bless him, bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. See you soon. So, I'm in reflective mode this week. On Monday, it was 50 years to the day since my dad was killed in a car accident. That's my dad. There's a handsome young lad. Not quite sure how old he is there, but that's him growing up. And 50 years ago, 18th of October 1971, my dad left home in the morning as normal, was driving to work in Oxford. And on the journey into work, he had a car accident, which wasn't his fault. There was nothing he could do to avoid it. It was the other driver's fault entirely. Coming up a slight hill on the wrong side of the road, and my dad just went over the brow of the hill, and it was a head-on accident. And my dad died in hospital about 3 hours later, just towards lunchtime. And so it was a Monday, and it was a Monday this year. And this week on Monday, two of my sisters and myself, we took my mum, who's 86, we took her out for lunch. Our other sister, unfortunately, couldn't join us because she was on holiday. But we just had a time reflecting and remembering and telling stories, looking at old photographs, and remembering our dad, but remembering the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father and how he's looked after us over these 50 years. Because that's really our family's story. It's very interesting. I was talking to my sisters and my mum, and we all had very, very clear memories of that Monday in 1971. But interestingly, our memories, however clear they were different. And on quite significant points, we had different opinions of what happened or what order things happened. So we spent the last 2 or 3 days just talking together as a family and trying to work out, you know, what we deem to be the best plan or the best record of what happened that day. Interestingly, one of my best friend from primary school, who I'm still in touch with, he put a post on Facebook that I really didn't get, and one of my sisters didn't get it either. And I sent this friend of mine a message saying, what are you talking about? And he came up with this very, very clear memory of what happened on the day my dad died. But the thing, it doesn't feature in any of our own memories. So it's kind of interesting. I'll have to talk to him properly about that, because it was, you know, memories are just funny. But so this week, yeah, it's a week of reflection. It's a week of thinking back. It's just a week of giving thanks as well, because, you know, it's, let me just go back to that. That's my family. That was taken about 6 months before my dad died. Of course, in those days, we all wore ties, you know, and everybody dressed up for these sorts of things. But that's me and my mum and dad and my three sisters. So the sister sitting next to me is my eldest sister. She's 2 years older than me. The one on the right is 2 years younger than me. And Wendy's a good number of years younger than the rest of us. She was only three when my dad died. So that was, you know, she's got very, very few memories of her own. But that was us. That's what we looked like. So this week's just been a week of reflection and giving thanks, because, you know, that was on that day 50 years ago, everything changed for us as a family. You know, nothing was the same ever again. And you know, my mum didn't go out to work. She stayed at home, looked after the kids. My dad had a reasonable job. He lectured in business studies and economics at a college in Oxford, not the university, but another college. Maybe that's where I get my accountancy from. So he had quite a good job, and he potentially could have moved up into the university had he been around. So, of course, you know, suddenly on the day he dies, our income, the family's income goes, and we went from being reasonably, you know, okay to not having very much. But the reality is, over these last 50 years, we've never gone in need. You know, there's been things we've wanted that we perhaps haven't had, but we've never gone in need. And you know, my mum has just looked after us all. She brought us up on her own. She did her very, very best, probably more than her very, very best. And, you know, she loved us. She cared for us. She wanted the best for us. And she passed on. I mean, both my mum and dad passed on their Christian inheritance to us. And my mum continues to do that to this day. But you know, when you reflect and when you think, you just see the goodness of God and his faithfulness over 50 years to us as a family. And now, we've all got our own families. Me and my sisters have got our families. Many of us, two of us, me and my elder sister are grandparents. One of my other sisters got a number of her children married, you know, but we can just see in our own families as well, the goodness and the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. And I'll just show you this other picture. This is me and my dad on that same night when we took the other family photos. A lot of people say I'm very much like him in looks and in personality. And I think I am. I think I'm quite like him in personality in many, many ways. But, you know, as I've been reflecting over these last few days, Psalm 68, verse 5 has been very real to me. You know, God is a father to the fatherless and the defender of widows. And I know that's been true in our own family, that God has become my father and, you know, revealed himself to me in that way, and really has become a father to me. Over the years, you know, I can look back and see many other good friends who in many ways have been a father figure to me and have helped me and guided me and have listened to me and have taught me many, many things. And I'm incredibly grateful for them, for their investment in my life, for the way they've given hours of their time to be with me, to encourage me, to listen to me, to just to help me and guide me where, you know, perhaps where I haven't had that earthly father to do that. And I honour them and I respect them and I love them very much, very grateful for that. But knowing that God is my father, as many of you will know, that's been the thing that, you know, 20 years ago when I came into this revelation of the Father, it changed everything. And it goes on changing everything. And you know, that's been my story, Psalm 68, verse 5, that God has been a father to us, the fatherless. And he has been a defender of the widows, my mum. He's looked after us and cared for us. And, you know, I know our journey has been many times, you know, we've just heard that still small voice of the Father speaking to us. And I believe as a family, we've been comforted. We've received the Father's comfort for losing our dad. I did a tribute to him on Facebook on Monday, which is on my Facebook page, and you're very welcome to read it. But I just wanted to pause and honour him. He was only around in my life for 10 and a half years. He and my mum were married for just over 14 years. And my elder sister was 12, I was 10, the next sister down was 8, and my younger sister was 3. So you can, you know, it leaves a huge hole in anyone's life when that happens. And our testimony is that verse is so true, that God is a father to the fatherless. And in a way, many of us are spiritual orphans, you know, and God will be, and God can be a father to the orphans, the spiritually orphans. Those of us who feel weighed down by the burden of an orphan heart, the truth is, the reality is that God can be and God will be a father to the fatherless, the spiritually fatherless. And, you know, I just want to give you that opportunity to open your hearts to receive the fathering from the perfect Father. Because just as he's the father to the fatherless, like us losing our dad, he can also be the father to us who are fatherless spiritually, and bring us into that relationship of being sons and daughters with him. I've also been reminded this week of that passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, where Jesus talks about God as a God is our Father who provides all we need. He's aware of our needs and he cares for us. You know, Jesus gives the parallel of, you know, of birds who don't worry about anything, yet their father provides, you know, of plants that go into beautiful flowers. They don't worry, but they grow up and they provide this beautiful canopy. And how much more for us, that our Heavenly Father provides for us. He knows all we need. He cares for us. And he's aware of us. And that's been true. I know that's been true in our life as a family. We've been so blessed. You know, I remember in the very early days, in the first few years after my dad died, we had no money. I mean, my mum got state benefit, which was enough to put food on the table. Thankfully, when my dad died, the mortgage was paid off. But, you know, mum just got enough benefit to put food and clothe us, basically. But we would often get envelopes through the front door with cash in. And that provided holidays and the treats, the bonuses, the extra things in life. And, you know, that was just the goodness of God. That was just our Father blessing us, you know, prompting other people in the church, other neighbours even, just to make those gifts. And, you know, we never went without. And we have many, many good memories of holidays and, you know, good things that we were able to do as a family. You know, and our Heavenly Father's the same for each one of us. He knows us. He cares about us. He's aware of our needs. And, you know, just as I reflect this week, I just want to encourage you to be aware, to know in your heart that your Heavenly Father knows. And sometimes we get all wound up about what we need and what we want and what we would like, and we worry about it and where is it going to come from and so on and so forth. But I just want to say to you that he knows, he cares, and he will provide. That's been our testimony, and I believe that can be the testimony for all of us, that he is a father who looks after his children. And, you know, I want to encourage you that if you are in need, if you're feeling like you've been missed out, your Father, your Heavenly Father knows, and he cares. And he will act on your behalf, because he is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. And, you know, sometimes our faith drives us to the desperation of believing that. Because at other times we try and work it out and make it happen for ourselves. But I don't know. Maybe if you're able to hear anything from my reflections tonight, you can hear in your heart that your Heavenly Father will provide for all of your needs. Not necessarily all of your wants, but all of your needs. And that he is aware of your situation. And he cares deeply about you because you're his children. You're his sons and daughters. And I know my mum, she really had to place her trust in God in a way that she never had to do before. You know, she's left with four kids, the house to manage and everything else. And she just threw herself in dependency on God to trust him. And the story of 50 years is he has proved faithful. He is a faithful father. The passages of scripture I love immensely is Psalm 27. It's a passage of scripture I go back to on many, many occasions, and I read it often. It's one of those psalms that inspires faith. It encourages me. It causes me once again to put my hope, my trust in him, that he will look after me, though, that he will keep me safe. He will keep me in the shelter of his wings. And the theme of the psalm is, you know, one thing I've desired is to seek you, is to find my home in your dwelling place. But the psalm ends up with these words. Let me read them to you, because I want to get them right. This Psalm 27, just the last couple of verses. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. And wait for the Lord. Starts off is, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though the wicked come against me, it's my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. But one thing I will ask of the Lord. This is what I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For he will keep me safe. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Some of the translations, they say, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's kind of like, I think that's how I learned the verse. You know, I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And very, very simply, that's my story. I can truly remain confident that not only will I see the goodness of the Lord, but I have seen the goodness of the Lord. I have experienced the goodness of the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight, today, with that reflection that God is faithful. God is reliable. He will keep you in a safe place. He will look after you. He will provide for you, and he will give you that hope that you too can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's been my experience. It's been our family's experience. And, you know, I believe it can be our experience too, that we have the certainty and the absolute assurance that we can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. 50 years is a long time. I was 10. I'd become a Christian 2 months before my dad died. And on that day, everything changed. I still drive down that road. Not so much now, I'm not working, but, you know, I go down that road, I remember. I pray for the guy who was driving the van. He may still be alive. He's had to carry that for these 50 years. That on that morning, Monday the 18th, 1971, he made a mistake. And he took the life inadvertently, didn't want to do it, but he took the life of a husband and a father. So I pray for him. My mum taught us to forgive him. And I know in my heart, I know my sisters are the same, that we don't carry anything against that guy in our heart. We just want to bless him. We want to see him blessed. We don't want him to carry that weight of guilt, you know. And so I drive down that road and I pray for him. I remember my dad a lot. My sisters do, my mum does. But 50 years is a long time. And we live in an instant world. Everything is now. It has to be now. And if it's not now, it's too late, you know. And everything has to be now, you know, instant, instant, instant. And if it's not instant, you know, we don't want it. And yet 50 years is a long time. And I know we as a family have proved the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. And we're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon. You know, when I became a Christian at the age of 10, 2 months before my dad died, I knew I was giving my whole life to Jesus. You know, I wasn't giving him the next 5 years or 10 years. This was a decision I was making for the whole of my life. And the reality is, all of us know that life sometimes deals a bad deal. You know, we get a bad deal out of life. Things happen. We have troubles. We have misfortunes. Things happen that are outside of our control, that we have no control over. We have no way of stepping in and changing it. There was nothing any of us in our family could do on Monday the 18th, 1971. There was nothing any of us could do to stop that happening. And it happened. You know, life sometimes is rough. Life is not fair. There are troubles. Jesus said, "Fear not, in this world you will have trouble." You know, that is like the understatement of history. Because of course we all know that we will have trouble. We all know there will be misfortunes. We all know there will be difficulties. We all know there will be struggles. But Jesus said, "Fear not, even though there will be troubles, I have overcome the world." And we can rest in that knowledge. We can rest in that assurance that Jesus has overcome on our behalf. He is our overcomer. And sometimes we would like life to be a sprint, but life's not a sprint, life's a marathon. And sometimes we have to stick with what is going on in our life, and we have to run the race. Paul said, "I've run the race." My mum has run the race. She's 86. I hope she's got many more years left in her, but she's run the race. She is running the race. My sisters, we've run the race together. And I want to encourage you to run the race. Don't give up. Don't let the troubles of life win. The troubles of life will wear you down. They will wear you down. They will be trouble. But don't let them win. I want to encourage you to keep running the race and keep relying on the assurance that God is our faithful, faithful Father. Even when we are weary, Isaiah says, he will renew our strength. He will renew us. He will pick us up. He will renew our hope. End of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. There are times when we feel weary. There are times when we feel tired. But he will renew us. He will renew our strength. Don't give up. Don't give up. Run the race that is set before you. However long it is, and I hope for each one of us it's many, many years. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's what I want to do, and I trust it's what you want to do too. Our God is a faithful, faithful Father. And if I take anything out of my week's reflections this week, it's that life's not always been kind, life's not always been easy, life's been difficult sometimes, but God has been unchanging. God never changes. He is always, always faithful. And he will be faithful to you. He knows you. He cares for you. He loves you because he is your dad. And he will look after you and he will lead you. And as I reflect on these 50 years, that's the overwhelming sense of joy I have, that out of that tragedy that we as a family experienced, I can honestly say that God is faithful. And the joy of the last 20 years of knowing that God is a father to me, and that I can have that same relationship with him as Jesus does, is something I long that all of us can really lay hold of. So those are my reflections. I'm just going to invite Barry to come back and join me. And, you know, I trust that out of my reflections, it will be something of life for all of you guys this evening.
Mate, thank you so much for just opening your heart up like that. That's such a, I mean, there's nothing more precious that we can give to one another than the very core of who we are, right? And So I so appreciate that. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind, if it's okay, to share just that story that you had in light of all of this and the 50 years when you were called out of the audience, in the sense of the congregation, with that prophetic word about God being a father to you. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah. It was December 1996 in a church meeting in our home church. Gerald Coates, many of you will have heard of Gerald Coates. Gerald was the visiting speaker that night, and I have to say I was really looking forward to hearing Gerald. Gerald's a very entertaining speaker, but very prophetic and very very deep. I was looking forward to some good worship as well. We got to the meeting on this Sunday evening, and the worship was rubbish. It was like flat. And I thought, that's okay. I'm not, I'm here to listen to Gerald Coates. So Gerald started speaking and he was rubbish too. He just didn't have any anointing. It was just, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, well, why am I out? It was December, it was cold. I just thought, oh, I could have been better off at home. He really didn't have anything to say. And he got to the end of his talk, and I thought, well, maybe we're going to have a ministry time. And I thought, maybe this will be it. But he said, Gerald Coates said, we're not going to have a ministry time tonight. And then he said, I've come The thing I've really come here to do tonight is this morning, he said, when I was praying about this evening, he said, I got one word. And the word I got was Mark. And he said, I feel I've got a prophetic word for all of the Marks who are here tonight. And he said, would all of you Marks stand up? So there are about six of us. We were kind of in a line across the hall, you know. And he turned to the first Mark, the one on the left, as he looked at him. It was Mark Soppit, actually, who's your neck of the woods now, Barry. And he had this amazing word for Mark. And it was great. And it was, I knew Mark, and I thought, this is a really good word, you know. Then he looked at me, and he looked at me, because I was the next in the line. And he looked and looked and looked at me, and he moved on to the next one. So he prophesied over this next Mark, and it was a reasonable word, you know. And then he went down the line, and by the time he got to the end, he said, it was kind of like, Mark, you're a nice guy, bless you, God loves you, you know, sit down. At that point in time, there's only two people standing in the room, Gerald Coates and me. And he's looking at me, and he keeps looking at me, and he keeps looking at me, and he keeps looking at me, and I'm thinking, just get this agony over with, you know, just let me sit down. And he got a young guy in front of me to stand up, and he said to this young guy, he said, just put your arms around Mark. So we did a nice little sort of Christian sideways hug, you know, like you do. And Gerald said, no, embrace one another. So this young guy and me, we're standing like this. And then he starts prophesying. And he just prophesied that God would be a father to me in a way that my earthly dad hadn't been able to. And at which point I started crying. The whole place was crying because everybody knew our family's story. Everybody's, my tears turn into a nosebleed. This guy's got a white shirt on and I'm just poured down him. Had to buy him a new shirt. But Gerald just prophesied that God would be a father to me in a way that my father wasn't able to be. And he said, it wasn't your dad's fault. And he then started to prophesy everything that I'm doing now, you know, in carrying and teaching this revelation of the Father. And that was 1996. It was 2002, 6 years later, that I came to Toronto. And that's really where I just had this clear encounter with the love of the Father. And the rest is history. But that was an incredible night. I, you know, remember it so clearly.
Well, yeah, no, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, that profound word has so seated in your heart, and of course, just the very essence of your message of being that God is a father to you, right? And I so many times when I've heard you share about 2 Corinthians 6:18, when God says that, it's just not a father figure, but he's a father to you. And yeah, and it's such a blessing, my brother, to hear your story and how over these 50 years that he has proven to be a father to you in every area. And it just, I just think it's amazing. And just, yeah, my prayer for everybody who is listening, and you know, I've been just reading some of the comments in the chat there, the Facebook chat, and just how, you know, some people have lost their fathers at an early age, and my prayer for each one of us is that just as Mark has had that story and that testimony, that no matter where you are in that journey, whether you're at the beginning of that journey or you're still struggling to make sense of anything that has happened in your life, that you would discover at a deeper level, even tonight, the faithfulness of God, and that he is a father to you. in every area of your life. And Mark, even, you know, the very practical things, right? You know, just the be able to go on holidays and things when those unexpected gifts came. And that was just your Heavenly Father just being that dad to you through his people. So, yeah, do you think, Mark, would you pray at all? Would you think that maybe we should... Because I mean, again, it's coming from your life, and we all have a story. But I think there is just such a weightiness of, you know, just the preciousness of you know, just if anybody is listening to this either live or afterwards, that just would just need that comfort that God is a father to the, and not only in eternity, but in this very moment. So.
Yeah. And I think the joy is that he was being a father to me and to us as a family, you know, before I really knew that's who he was.
Yeah.
Because he is eternal father. He is the eternal father.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, he doesn't start fathering us when we see who he is. He's fathering us all the time.
Yeah.
And so let's just open our hearts. I really do just... want to just have this opportunity to for us to receive. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we just simply want to just rest in your presence together. Father, we just want you to come and put those arms of love around us. Father, those arms of love that we as a family have experienced for 50 years. Father, that faithfulness, that kindness, that goodness, may your arms of love, may those arms of love embrace us this evening. And Father, just as we pause in your presence, may we know, may each one of us know that you care, that you care, that you understand. And you know what we need, whether it's emotionally or physically or financially, you know what we need, and you care, and you're kind. And Father, may those arms of love that have held us through thick and thin, may they embrace each one of us this evening. And yes, there will be trouble. There will be tribulation, but we thank you, Jesus, that you are our overcomer and that you've done what we're unable to do. Thank you that you are the eternal Father, and that even if we don't know you as Father, even if we haven't seen you being Father, you are still Father. And I just, Father, particularly for those people who are watching this webcast who lost their dad at an early age or maybe later on in life, Father, I just ask for them particularly that they would have an overwhelming sense of your fathering love being poured into their heart right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just pour that love into our heart. Father, would you overwhelm us with your love? All of us have suffered loss, and I pray, Father, that you would just come and comfort us in the depths of our being. That you would be a father to the fatherless. You would be a defender. Those people who've been widowed or are widowers, Father, would you be a father to them? Would you defend them when no one else is defending them, Father, would you defend them? Thank you, Father. And we just open our hearts to receive your love. Thank you, Dad. Thank you that you're faithful. Father, help us not to let go of you, not to lose sight of your goodness, not to let the troubles overwhelm us, not to let those tribulations and hassles win, but Father, may we just hang on to you, and may we say, you are faithful, you are good, you're always good, Father. Thank you that you're loving us now. That you know each one of us by name. That night in December 1996, you called me out by name, Mark. Father, you know each one of us by name. And tonight you're calling us by our name, maybe by our nickname, the name we love to be called. You're calling us. And you're just inviting us into that embrace. The embrace of your love. Father, we don't want any fear to prevent us coming into your embrace. I just ask for those whose earthly fathers perhaps weren't the best, where the memories aren't good, where the filter is causing a darkened view of you. Just ask, Father, that your love would overcome that fear. And as you call their name, they wouldn't run. We wouldn't run away, but we would run into your open waiting arms. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. mate, that was so rich. Wow. We have a good dad.
We do.
He is a faithful dad. He's looked after us all our life.
Yeah.
Wow. Whew. I was wondering, you know, what we opened up with the countdown with the song "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," and I wondered when we just kind of wrap up, maybe we could just play that again if that you know, just when we say goodbye, just for those who would want to just join us and just remembering the faithfulness of our Father. Would that be okay, do you think, when we're ready to go?
That's good. Let's stick that on. Thanks guys for joining us, and may my story, we all have a different story, but may we all have that same knowledge and experience that we have a faithful dad. Guess we'll be back next time, same time next week. I think the word's older than not.
I'll be here, so I hope you guys will be here too. So thanks so much, and again, thanks Mark for just breaking the bread of your life. It was just amazing. So, and we are celebrating with you in that sense of the faithfulness of God all these years. So.
Okay.
Yeah, see you guys next week. So
okay, we'll just put this the Great Is Thy Faithfulness on.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week.